want you to know the respect I have for your pastor. I feel like I should be sitting down, and I know I'm a guest and he's invited me to come, and you have, but I think that he's more qualified by many degrees than what I am, and I certainly enjoy sitting under his ministry. He's been in our conference in Pennsylvania for about 19 years now, and we thoroughly enjoy him. I think you should have the conference in the fall, and I'll tell you the reason. I know it's your anniversary in the spring, but he's fed me so good I could have hibernated for the winter if you'd had this conference in the fall. He just took us to a restaurant this evening, and those folks must feed construction workers and timbermen and stuff, because they serve a great dinner. I would invite you tonight to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading The Strange Place, verse 10. This is, of course, the end of the Lord's looking up and seeing Zacchaeus, who had run ahead to see Jesus because of the press of the crowd, and he was very small of stature. The Lord looks up in the tree and says, "This day is salvation come to thy house." And so, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. And then he makes this statement, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." And as they heard these things, he added a parable. He added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Lord, thy pounds have gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, 'Lord, thy pounds have gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, 'Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou laidest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow.' And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had not, that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Let us look to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, once again we ask thee to help us. For we are coming to a place where we are treading on holy ground. We are trying to understand that which is incomprehensible to the natural mind. We are trying to understand that which is eternal, and we are mortals. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us. Lord, make these things clear to us tonight. Make us to know what our purpose in life is in a fuller way. Help us, O God, to see that thou hast given us many blessings, that we were to return to thee with profit and thanksgiving. Help us, O God, to know how to do this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I look at this portion of Scripture, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then hopefully tell it to you, and then tell you what I said. He says here, he's going to take away from those that have not that which they have. When I first read that statement, I thought I'm going to have to look at the original. I'm going to have to find out what this thing is all about. What do they have to be taken away if they have not? What can you take away from somebody who doesn't have? Well, the Pharisee expected that the Lord would at this time establish the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus' disciples thought that the kingdom was going to immediately come. I'm going to tell you tonight that the kingdom of God did come, and they did not see it. And he told them that it had come, and then he tells them that they are to live the life of the children of the kingdom. Well, the revelation of the kingdom in its full glory has not yet come. Do you know there's a time coming when all of those that thought the kingdom of God did not come will find out that they missed the kingdom? And when the kingdom comes in its glory, the glory of the kingdom is going to destroy them and reveal the king himself in his glory. Well, you say, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going away. He is a certain nobleman that the scripture is talking about. And he is going on a journey to receive a kingdom. He's going to be coronated. And if we look in the book of Revelation, we see John says he was coronated. And he is the king. And he reigns over all things. But today, the world looks at us and says, what is that group of people doing up there? They say, if that's the kingdom of God, it sure doesn't have. I'm telling you, I'd rather be here tonight in the presence of the children of the kingdom than I would any place in the world. You couldn't give me an invitation to the royal wedding, and it would thrill me. No, it wouldn't begin to thrill me like being in the presence of that which God is building for all eternity. There's no comparison to it. I am here tonight to tell you that God is doing something that is only going to be known to the world when it is finally revealed, but it's known to us even now. And he says here, Jesus, as he looks at this, he is telling us now, and has been telling us for some time, about the kingdom of God. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And the disciples are asking the Lord why he's teaching the people in parables. And he's telling them, he's teaching the people in parables because it's not given to know them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, you may have read these parables and you said, boy, I like the ones that Jesus interprets because then I know what he said. Don't you? I like the clarity of that because, you know, when he interprets those first parables, we said there's no question about what they mean. He's told us what they mean. But why didn't he tell us all those parables? Well, he's telling you, I can interpret these parables, but so can the Holy Ghost interpret these parables. And there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be here to interpret these parables, guess what you're going to have to depend on? You're going to have to depend on the Holy Ghost to interpret these parables. He's telling you, I am ministering to you and telling you about the kingdom of God. But there's going to be a time when I'm not going to be with you, when I'm not going to be able to interpret and minister all these things for you. What are you going to do in those days? What are you going to do in those days? Well, you're going to either have to know God by the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to be involved in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. Just as Jesus in his ministry revealed the kingdom of God, and he said the kingdom of God is likened to. And then he goes on and teaches his disciples what the kingdom of God is like. But there's going to come a time when Jesus isn't going to be here, and someone is going to have to teach you about the kingdom of God. And someone is going to have to minister to you in that time, so that you have instead of have not. And today, I thank God for the church that has the Holy Spirit to be their teacher. Because you know there were many that didn't believe Jesus, and there's many that won't believe the Holy Spirit. They'll believe priests, they'll believe pastors, they'll believe writers, but they won't be led by the Spirit of God. And they will in the days before the coming of the kingdom of God, not be prepared for it. Let me show you in this short passage here in Matthew 13, how he warns us what happened in the days of Isaiah. And that's a warning to us, well, what will happen in our days if we don't depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And you know and I know that, that's what happens whenever anyone hears the words of the kingdom and understands them not and doesn't have enough good sense to ask somebody to help him or ask the preacher, whoever's teaching, to help him, that word will be gone. That word will be gone. The fowls come and eat up all the seeds that's by the wayside. In fact, if you plant your seed in your lawn to grow grass, if you don't cover it with straw or netting or something, guess what? There won't be much seed left because the birds will come and take it away. And Jesus said, we're in a battle with another world, with a world of darkness. And that world is always seeking to gobble up the things of the kingdom. He says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls or the demons came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. And some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You and I don't have quite the knowledge of how important it is to hear. He said, hear, and your soul shall live. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. You know, beloved, the only way that you ever get any understanding is by hearing or reading. Yet that has to enter into you. And he said, your ears are blessed for you hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you speaking to them in parables? Why don't you tell them plainly? Do any of you think the scriptures is plain? I think part of it is and part of it isn't. Guess what? Most people understand the part that is plain, and most people don't understand the part isn't plain. In fact, every time the preacher preaches, if he turns to the book of Zechariah, or he turns to the book of Malachi, or he turns to one of those very unfamiliar portions of Scripture, my ears perk up because that's what I want to hear. Isn't that the same way with you? I want someone to preach to me the Word of God that I don't clearly understand so that I can understand it. And Jesus said, I'm preaching to them in parables because they're not supposed to understand it. You say, well, doesn't God want everyone to understand it? He wants everyone who has ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to believe. He wants them to believe it, but he has a way in which he reveals it, and he's not going to do it any other way. We're not dealing with a natural kingdom. We're dealing with a spiritual kingdom. And God is going to reveal them unto us by his Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the knowledge of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in his teaching that would correspond with the natural man? He said, blessed are they that do mourn. Blessed are they that do mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He takes things and he says, this is the way God does things, and this is the way the world does things. And he said, you're going to have to do things the way God does things because the world doesn't understand and can't comprehend and won't do it. Do you know what the church is doing in the world today? The church is in the world today as the light of the world. And when you love the unlovely, you are just like Christ. When you minister to those that can't pay you back, can't do anything for you, they're no profit to you. I mean, what man investing would invest in an investment that wasn't going to bring him any returns? And you spend your life ministering to those that can't pay you back, and you count it a joy to minister to them that you might tell them of Christ, because you want them to know eternal things. You want them to know the kingdom of God. But listen to what happens here. The disciples came and said, why speakest thou? He says, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath... Now remember, we're talking in Luke chapter number 19. We're talking about those that have and those that have not. And he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. All right, you've got some people in the church that have, and some people that have not, and we're not talking about materialistic things. You understand that? We're talking about what you have of spiritual wealth, spiritual blessing, spiritual knowledge. And I had a man come to me one time, and he said to me, he says, well, you're a preacher, you ought to know. Well, wait a minute. Every child of God ought to know. Y'all ought to know your Father. Y'all ought to know the truth. Y'all ought to know the doctrines of God. In the light you shall see light. And God said he's going to teach all of his children, so you ought to know. And he said, well, you have to know. You're responsible to know. You have to answer our questions. You have to preach this word. And I says, no, I'm searching for eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So you see, it's given to us to know. And if you have, guess what it does? Did you ever find that when you learn something in the scriptures, it opens up a door to something else? Did you ever notice that? You study a subject, and, you know, I said to people, I've had so many people tell me they have faith, that I'm getting so sick and tired of people telling me they have faith, and yet their faith doesn't do anything to transform their lives. And yet everyone in the Bible that was said to have faith, Noah, by faith, builded an ark to the saving of his house. Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So I found out that everyone that had faith, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees and went out and looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Everybody that had faith was guided into a life that led them to understand and know God. And so I said, isn't it funny that all these people that say they have faith, many of them don't even go to church, meet them in the hospital, they have a sick relative, and they say, oh, I prayed so hard, And you have to tell them that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, him God heareth. You know, but faith, what is it? Well, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. It's also the embodiment of truth. And Jude says, earnestly contending for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. So here I find out that faith is a body of truth. The scriptures. Faith is a gift of God that gives us the ability to reach out and embrace and hold the truths of God and make them ours. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is a motivator that makes us do the things that God calls us to do so that we might preserve our house, so that we might offer acceptable sacrifices, so we might be pleased to call ourselves with the children of God. It says Moses, when he was called, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So if you have faith tonight, I know one thing, you know how to sacrifice to God. If you have faith tonight, I know that you've reached out and everything that God says, you can't wait to get a hold of it because you realize the value of it. For by grace you are saved through faith. That faith reaches out. I also know that you're not ashamed to be called with the people of God. Moses could have had Egypt, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter by faith, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God, for he had recompense of the reward. He saw the difference between the things. Faith opens your eyes to understand, to see. And so when someone says to you, well, I have faith, you know, we can't deny it. We don't want to argue with them. But we wonder, what kind of faith do you have? And why doesn't it motivate you to be joined to the people of God? Why doesn't it motivate you to work like Noah to the saving of your house and to offer acceptable sacrifices to God? So I'm just saying, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, you might please God. No, he says it's impossible without faith, because faith is that gift of God that opens up all the other things. So we find out here that he that hath, more is going to be given to him. Sometimes when you go to church and you go to that church 10 years later, and man, some of the people that were kind of had foggy notions, now all of a sudden everything's cleared up. How in the world did that happen? They heard. It got hold of them. They begin to understand. Give attendance to reading, to exhortations. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And so by a constant hearing and by a constant trying it and seeing that it works, pretty soon it just opens up windows and doors to you, and pretty soon you begin to enjoy the Christian faith. And what happens is, let me tell you why people leave churches. People leave churches because they're sick and tired of ritualism. They're sick and tired of the same old thing over and over. But when I tell you that when you get in the faith that God is talking about, nothing is ritualistic. It's not ritualistic to come to a meeting where God is going to speak to you and motivate you and lead you and make your lives profitable for his glory. Listen, the Apostle Paul writes to the churches and he said, thank you for your prayers, thank you for your love gifts, thank you for, you know, being with us in this ministry and supporting it. This thing, the life of the Apostle Paul, it wasn't a boring life. Everywhere he went, he's battling with those that worshipped Diana, or he's battling with those that were coming behind him, persecuting him for leaving the Jewish faith and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you see, this isn't some ritualistic, this isn't some dry experience. Listen, this is the advancing of the kingdom of God in the world that's going to come to a culmination one day when Jesus comes back and the full glory of it is manifest. There's going to come an end to your labors. There's going to come an end to this, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should hear them, heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now what happened to the nation of Israel? They kept rejecting the teaching of the prophets. They stoned the prophets. They persecuted them. They wouldn't believe their teaching. Along comes the last. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And what did they do with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? No matter what he said, they kept trying to trick him in his speech. They kept trying to find some way that he violated the law, some way that he didn't hold to the teaching of Moses or Abraham. They kept saying, we be Abraham's children. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. Well, we have Moses and the prophets. And he says the same thing that Moses taught. He said, I was before Abraham. I was before Moses. I am the God of the prophets. I am the true prophet of Israel. And yet they wouldn't believe him. What happened? Isaiah said, God is going to blind your eyes. God is going to stop up your ears. And God is going to leave you in a state where you're going to have nothing. What's happening to America today? What's happened to Christianity today? Christianity has bought into a lie. They have bought into a system that says the kingdom is yet to come. Now listen to me. They say the kingdom is yet to come. And yet the scripture plainly teaches the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't say, lo here or lo there is the kingdom. I can't tell whose heart the kingdom of God is in tonight, but I can tell if I live around you for a while, I can pretty well discern who's in the kingdom and who isn't. And you know how you can tell? Because kingdom people have a nature. Kingdom people have an understanding. Undeniable. He says, if you hear and you see, it's because you're being brought into the kingdom. What's John 3 say? Except a man be born again, he cannot. You know why everybody's interested in Israel and what's happened over in the Mideast? You know why, you know, all the religious leaders in America are all speaking about Israel and their this and that? Is because they are blinded to the truth. They are not God's timepiece, and they are not God's chosen people. They are those who God used to bring the history of the Old Testament through the Old Testament times until the New was brought forth. But he says, now ye are all the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. So am I going to believe the Bible, or am I going to believe some teacher that says this is the way it is? Well, let me go on a little bit further. Because they won't believe this, God said that he was going to blind the mind of Israel. And even when Jesus leaves the temple, and he says, the time is coming, there won't be one stone left upon another, but God is going to destroy this. And they said, when will these things be? They thought it would be the end of the world. It was the end of an economy. It was an end of an age. But it wasn't the end of the world as we look at the end of the world. And so now there won't be any temples built. There won't be any sacrifices given. There won't be any blood of bulls and goats that can never take away sin offered. He says what's happening is you've got a whole group of people in America that's blinded to these same things. And how are you ever going to get the teaching straightened out? Well, you're only going to get it straightened out by one means. And he said, that's by the Spirit of God. Turn with me, if you would, in the Scripture. And we'll just look at a few passages of Scripture. Because I want to tell you, turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Now, Jesus is preparing them for the time when he wouldn't be here. You know, I liked it when I was home. I thought that groceries came naturally into the house. I thought that light bills were paid and you know, all bills were paid and everything. It just naturally happened. I thought it was my house. But I grew up and I got out of school and I went to work and I left home, and guess what? All those things that I thought naturally happened didn't naturally happen. Somebody took care of them. I wasn't any longer under Daddy's house. Jesus said to his disciples, "When I sent you out without purse, without anything, did you lack anything?" And he said, "No, we didn't lack anything. I mean, you perform all the miracles. You feed the multitudes. You meet all of our needs. It's wonderful walking with Jesus." He said, "Well, the time's coming when I'm going away. Then you're going to have to take your purse and take the script and take your sword, because you're going to be alone in the world and you're going to have to survive. It's going to be a different time." Well, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. You see, the king brought the kingdom with him when he came, but he went away in his crucifixion and in his resurrection to be exalted at the Father's right hand to receive a kingdom. And he says, "Well, I'm gone away. You occupy till I come back, and when I come back, it's over, and we're going to divvy up the tally." Think that's the way it's going to be, don't you? And so he says, "Occupy till I come." So in the meantime, you and I have to learn everything we can about Christ so that we can be good stewards and occupy till he comes back. And as he was the light of the world, now we're responsible to be a light of the world. We're responsible to carry on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. And people are going to be rewarded. Now, some of these people that are in the twilight zone that say, "Well, you know, I'm not committed to this. I just like to come and listen." We've had couples that like to come and listen. I said to one man one time, I said, "What are your intentions?" He says, "Oh, I like to preach in the Word of God. I just like to come and listen." And he said, "But we don't want to become involved. We've been involved in other churches. We don't want to become involved." And I said, "Oh, you would like to promote living together but not being married." "Oh, what are you talking about?" He said, "I don't believe in that." I said, "Well, you'd like to be in the church but not of the church. You would like to be..." God won't deal with you that way. You won't get the blessings that way. You won't share in the rewards that way. You've got responsibilities put upon you by the Lord himself. And he said, "Herein will the world know that you love me and that you love one another." There is a Christian character that is produced by the Spirit of God. There's a Christian work and ministry that's produced by the Spirit of God. And you have to be involved in that to get any reward in the end. In John 16, he says to his disciples, "Nevertheless," verse 7, "it's expedient. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith to us? A little while ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn into joy. Now let me tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going away, he told his disciples, "You're going to do greater works than I have done." In the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, while he was yet in the body, he could only be in one locale at a time. But he said, "Once I'm gone and my work is finished, you've got a story to tell to the whole world." And he said, "The Spirit of God will come and enable you to tell that story." And you know what the Spirit of God has told us through the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1? He says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know what I rejoice in tonight? I rejoice in the light there is in that kingdom. I rejoice in the provisions there are in that kingdom. I can't want anything spiritual. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So that now death is behind me, the grave is behind me. I've been resurrected in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the kingdom. Well, I know you don't believe me, so we'll turn to it. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God. And he says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Now, no one comprehends that except the people that are in the kingdom. When he said in John 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I can see it very clearly. Can you see it very clearly? I can see the kingdom very clearly. I'm not looking for a kingdom in this place or that place. I'm looking for the kingdom within. And I'm looking for it in you. You know who I fellowship with? I sat down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. I sat down with the people of the kingdom. And you know what? When we discuss these things, they say, "Well, you sound like a Christian. You sound like somebody that understands the truth of the Scriptures." Well, yeah, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Why do you do what you do? Why do you live the way you live? Why do you gather together and why do you long for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the final manifestation of that great kingdom? Well, because we're part of that. And the apostle admonishes us to be faithful unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is a reward for them that labor, and yet it's not earned reward, because Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but what? The grace of God that was with me." It's not something I earn. It's something I do. I want to get close to Jesus and walk with Jesus because I want to be with him for all eternity. And anything that he does for his glory through me, you sing that song, "Channels Only, Blessed Master." I'm just a channel. I don't have this supply. I hope my pipe is tapped into that supply so that I can get it to flow through me. But I don't have anything in myself. There's nothing in me, not one good thing. And notice Hebrews chapter 12. I like this. Was this promised to in the beginning? Was it promised in the book of Luke when he says that God was going to bring in a kingdom that was not going to pass away? Is it not in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel that in the midst of these earthly kingdoms, God is going to raise up a kingdom that shall last forever? Last forever. So you see, when I come to so-called church, and this building is not the church, but you are, when we leave, there is no church here. The church is gathered. If it's a church, it has to be gathered. When you come together, then you are the saints where God meets in the midst of his people. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 26, he says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that can be shaken, as of things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Oh, I like this. Boy, the world is getting kind of tipsy-turvy and rocky, isn't it? I mean, we don't know how Japan's going to survive this. We don't know what's going to happen in Turkey and Egypt and all these other places. We don't know what's going to happen in America. But I know what's going to happen in the kingdom of God. He always causes us to triumph. There is no failure. It's already accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So if things get rocky, would you please meet with me in the church house and we'll rejoice in God and sing the praises of heaven and rejoice in what He has called us from and to. And it says, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This is serious business, hearing the word of God. It's serious business, heeding to the things that we hear. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are in the church those that have heard many things. But guess what? It did not profit them because those things were not heeded. I have found out when I read the scriptures that I have to say, Lord, help me to understand this and obey it, that I might be part of that everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, the Spirit of God authored the word. The Spirit of God writes this in our heart. The Spirit of God teaches us all things. What a great blessing this is to hear. Look in Luke chapter 8. He's constantly telling them the blessings of hearing. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, there are many people that sat in the church. Let me just give you an instance. There are some people that were raised in the church as children. They came up through the church. They have sat in church from the time they were in their mother's arms until the present day, and they still haven't committed to Christ. Can you imagine that? God is one day going to take that away, and they're going to have nothing. When if they had heard, they could have had a lot more. They could have had a lot more. But one day, what does the book of Proverbs say? Son, hear. And then he goes on in the last chapter, or the 29th chapter, and he said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. So here are those that hear and hear and hear and hear, and they say, I know I should, I ought to, I maybe someday I will. And guess what? Through their procrastination, they robbed themselves of all the windows that would have been open to them had they submitted and believed. And you know, those that have had that experience have found out it just opens up. My wife just was reading in her room today, and she read me about the princes of this earth being nothing. You know, they're really haughty today, aren't they? You know, they're riding around in their in their luxury, and they're really showing off. But you know what they really are? They really are nothing. They really are nothing. They have no authority. They have no power. And in the world to come, the name of the wicked will rot. They won't be there. And so he says here, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. Do you know how many people this would cover in America today, in the churches? How many people you think there are in the churches that have heard with joy anon, they received the word, boy, you should have been here last Sunday. Boy, the preacher really had a good message, and boy, I'll tell you what, it stirred up a lot of folks. But you know what? Because they have no root, they'll wither and die. They'll wither and die. And he says, that which fell amongst thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth fruit to perfection. It's amazing in this day how many distractions there are. How many distractions there are. You have to have a time that you set aside to be alone with God to get things straightened out before you ever are faced with that world. It's good to start the day with God before you ever face this world so you have something as a standard against it. He said, but there on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what do they do with it? Keep it. Keep it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Listen, there are those that have not, and the day is going to come when they're going to have nothing. There are those that have, and they are going to be blessed to have more, because God blessed them for their faithfulness to that which they heard. But that on the good ground, no man, when he lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bushel, under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that it may enter, they that enter in may see the light. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which you have. I want to ask you a question. You certainly have heard a lot over the years. You have heard a lot over the years. And you know, sometimes a pastor, when he is studying, he'll study and he'll think. And sometimes he has thoughts of the needs of the people. Maybe he has some that's not committed to the Lord. Maybe he has some that's been unfaithful. Maybe he has some that's, you know, kind of wavering. And he said, Lord, I hope this message will stir their heart. Bring them to an understanding. Bring them to an understanding. It's serious business to hear. This, you're not going to get this again. It's going to pass by. You know, when Jesus went through and there was a man that was up a tree, that was his day of salvation. I don't think Jesus ever passed that way again. You know that day he went through Samaria? There was a woman at the well. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. But I don't think he went through that way again. It was just for that sheep that was there. Maybe that message will never be preached again. You'll say, oh, I wish my friend had been here to hear it. Lord, help me not to forget it. You see, it's serious business hearing and heeding the word of God. Hearing. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, you know, that's for the super Christian. That's for somebody, you know, that really wants to be committed. But I just want to go to heaven. I just want to be. No. He said there's nobody that can come to Christ if he doesn't deny everything else. He said, if I'm not worth more than anything else, I'm not worth anything. He must have preeminence. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. There's a first thing. And he says, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I want to ask you a question. Did you ever take a piece of paper and kind of tally up the hours you spent reading Field and Stream and other things in the Word of God? Did you ever take a piece of paper and see how much you've invested in pleasure and how much you've invested in Christ? Because he warns against lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He warns about all these things. So he said, if you're the children of the kingdom and you want the blessings of that and the reward of that, he said, then you're going to have to be faithful in that. Be faithful in that. Now, I'm glad that the kingdom of God can't fail. The reason that Jesus Christ makes us new creatures is to fit us for that kingdom. And in Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I like this. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture in the Word of God. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. In other words, your children are never going to see Christ except in you. Your neighbor's never going to see Christ except in you. You say, oh, I wish my neighbor could know the Lord. Who's going to be light to him? You see, that's what the church is. The faithfulness of the church, the love of the church, the giving of themselves one to another. They manifest Christ. As He loved us, so we love one another. He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives one for another. And you know, it's okay until it starts hurting and it starts pinching a little bit. And then we kind of back off, but we're willing to give everything until it delves into our life savings. It's something to be a Christian. It's something to be a Christian. You know what Christ spared in His life for us? He gave Himself. Unreservedly. You say, humiliation? Emptied Himself? You know what He had in His 401k when He left? They hadn't invented them yet, but He had nothing. And you know what? He had such a knowledge of the kingdom of God that nothing else mattered to Him. And we think that we're children of the kingdom. We think we've been born again. We think that we're living a spiritual life. Oh, beloved, if we could see. Listen what He says here. Thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we're a savior of death unto death, to the other we're a savor of life unto life. Who's sufficient for these things? Not one of us. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You see, get out of your mind that the church is just a building and this is where we come and we park in our parking place and we come in here. Get in your mind that you are Christ. Get in your mind that you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. I don't have a right to make decisions. I don't do it at the house. My wife does. I don't do it in the church. Christ does. I don't have any rights. I forfeited all my rights when I come to Christ. And now I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the ideal. That's what the Scriptures demands of us. And you know what? Every day I'm trying to get closer to that. Because I have grandchildren, I have neighbors, I have people in the church. And it's my responsibility to preach Christ to them, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. And beloved, this is a great privilege. I can't tell you what a great privilege it is for me to be able to come here and be amongst you. Some of you I've known for a number of years, and I love you. And I thank God for the progress I've seen in your lives. Thank God that you're not just living, but you're enjoying life. And you're enjoying it on the right side of the cross. You've passed through the cross, and now you're enjoying it in a crucified life. For to me to live is Christ. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Jesus did for us. It says when He was raised from the dead in Acts chapter 2, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He had to be enthroned in glory before the Spirit of God could come. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And when the Spirit of God came, it transformed the church. It made him a powerful force in the world because they were the same people, but they had Christ within. And nothing was going to stop them from going into all the world with Jewish opposition, with Gentile heathen opposition. They were going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And beloved, if you do that to the end, you'll be the haves instead of the have-nots. And he said some of them have not because they haven't seen it, they haven't heard it, and they're going to have their eyes closed, and God is going to send them strong delusions that they'll believe a lie. By the time the train leaves, the kingdom of God comes in, and they have nothing. They have nothing. God have mercy on us. When we hear this word, say, Lord, open mine eyes that I might see. Help me to believe these things. Help me to obey these things. I don't want to get this close to the end and not be ready. Help us. Remember those servants that said, my Lord delayeth his coming. They begin to beat, misuse one another. And he said, in an hour that you think not, the Lord comes and your reward is gone.
That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. What do you keep? To keep what you hate or what you love? I'm asking you. To keep what you love. What if you love your life in this world? What's going to happen? You'll lose it. Do you know, I'm absolutely convinced that you will seek after and spend the most time on what your God is. Where you spend your time, that's your God. You wonder why people let other things compete with where the ministry of the Word is? They really don't want to be there. Other things are more important. You know why the Scriptures aren't sought daily and God prayerfully sought diligently? Because the world has the hearts of people. You know what we generally do? What we want to. And that's the gauge of the heart. I believe God has spoken to our hearts here tonight. I trust that He'll bring us back together tomorrow and that you'll be in prayer for the ministry of the Word again and that God would be exalted in each of us. Jim Sweeney, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you.